Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, text chapter number 16, Praise of King Pritha by the Professional Reciters, text number 21.
Asmai
Ripala
Ripala
Kila
Kila
Tatra Tatra
Tatra Tatra
Balim
Balim
Harishyanti
Harishyanti
Sa
Sa
Lokapala
Lokapala
Mamsyante
Mamsyante
Esham
Esham
Striya
Striya
Adirajam
Adirajam
Chakra Ayuham
Chakra Ayuham
Tat
Tat
Yasha
Yasha
Udharantya
Udharantya
Asmai Nirpala Kila Tatra Tatra
Asmai Nirpala Kila Tatra Tatra
Balim Harishyanti Salokapala
Balim Harishyanti Salokapala
Mam Syante Sham Sriya Adi Rajam
Mam Syante Sham Sriya Adi Rajam
Chakra, chakra yudham, tadyasha udharantya.
Chakra yudham, tadyasha udharantya.
Asmai ripala kila tatra tatra.
Asmai ripala kila tatra tatra.
Balim harishyanti salokapala.
Balim harishyanti salokapala.
Mam syante sham sriya adirajam.
Mam syante sham sriya adirajam.
Chakra yudham tadyasha udharantya
Chakra yudham tadyasha udharantya
Asmai nirpala kila tatra tatra
Asmai nirpala kila tatra tatra
Balim harishyanti salokapala
Balim harishyanti salokapala
Mam syante sham sriya adirajam
Mam syante sham sriya adirajam
Chakra yudham tadyasha udharantya
Chakrayam tadyasha udhrayanta
Asmai
Asmai
Unto him
Unto
him Nirpala
Nirpala
All the kings
All the kings
Kila
Kila
Certainly
Certainly
Tatra tatra
Tatra tatra
Here and there
Here and there
Balim
Balim
Presentations
Presentations
Harishyanti,
Harishyanti,
will offer.
Will offer.
Sa,
Sa,
with, Lokapala,
Lokapala,
the demigods,
the demigods.
Mamsyante,
Mamsyante,
will consider,
will consider.
Esham,
Esham,
of these kings,
of these kings.
Striya,
Striya,
wise,
wise.
Adirajam,
Adirajam,
the original king,
the original king.
Chakra Ayudham,
Chakra Ayudham,
bearing the disc weapon.
Very, very beautiful.
Tat,
Tat
is Yashaha,
Yashaha,
reputation,
reputation,
Udharantya,
Udharantya,
carrying on,
carrying on.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When the king travels all over the world, other kings, as well as the demigods, will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblems of club and disc, and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. As far as reputation is concerned, King Pritha is already known as the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Adirajam means the original king. The original king is Narayan, or Lord Vishnu. People do not know that the original king, or Narayan, is actually the protector of all living entities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Eko Bhavanam Yo Vidhati Kaman. I think he's okay. Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is maintaining all living entities. The king, or Naradev, is his representative. As such, the king's duty is to personally supervise the distribution of wealth for the maintenance of all living entities. If he does so, he will be as reputable as Narayan. As mentioned in this verse, Tadyashaha, Prithu Maharaj was actually carrying with him the reputation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was actually reigning over the world in that capacity. Om Gyan Kamiram Vasya Gyan Anjana Shmokaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvayama Shri Chaitanyam Om Vishnam Stavatam Yena Muktaya Sayam Bhakramayam Dati Saltantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sja Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagna Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sāvaitam, Sāvadūtam, Virjana, Sāvitam, Krishna, Chaitanya, Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna, Param, Sahagana, Raghunath, Shankaratam, Vitam, Sta, He Krishna, Kuruni, Sindhu, Dina, Bandhu, Jagapate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Mokstate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gopuniki, Radhe, Vrindavaneshri, Vrishivam, Sute, Devi, Paramami, Muri, Priye, Panchakalpa, Trubhyascha, Kripasindhu, Devacha, Patitanam, Bhavyebhyo, Vaishnavyebhyo, Namo Namaha, Jai, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi, Gaur, Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, the verse again. Asmani Pala Kilatatra Chakra Balim Hrishanti Salokapala Amtanta Esham Sri Adi Rajam Chakra Yudham Tadisha Tadisha Udharancha. When the king travels all over the world, other kings as well as the demigods will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblem of club and disc, and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishvaraya Krishasamitaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachari Shitami. So, Srila Prabhupada talks in the purport about Krishna, Lord Narayan being the original protector of all living entities, and King Prithu Maharaj being his representative, is carrying out that function of protecting all the living entities. So the verse Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Eko Bhavanam Yogvidhati Kaman, from the Katha Upanishad. So the It's a nice verse from the Vedas. And as Prabhupada explains, the Upanishads, which this verse comes from, the Upanishads are the... then we get to the transcendental section of the Vedas. There's so many Vedic literatures, and many of them are concerned with, as Krishna says in Gita, the three modes of material nature and material activities. So, but then when we get to the Upanishads, then we're getting into the spiritual knowledge. So that verse from Katha Upanishad, Nicca Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam Eko Bhavanam Yogvidhati Kaman. So there's one line before that. There is Krishna is eternal, and we are also eternal. And Krishna is conscious, cognizant, and we are also conscious. So what is the difference then between us and Krishna? Of course, there are many definitions of God, and this definition is that the difference is that the Supreme Lord is supplying all the necessities of life for the many other living entities. So it's an interesting meditation that one person, one living entity, is supplying and maintaining all the necessities for all the other living entities, which is far, far beyond our what we can conceive of, just how many living entities there are. Because if you ask a scientist, they might tell you that in one square centimetre of air, there's so many billions of germs or other kind of living entities flying around. And in our body and in the ground, there's, the earth is rich with bugs that chew up the earth and make fertilizer and worms and so many things. And, we're only talking about this planet. And this planet's like a speck of dust in the whole universe. And then Lord Chaitanya told one of his devotees that this whole universe, or to speak of all the planets within it, this whole universe is like a mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. So how many living entities are there? And then the whole material universe is only one quarter of Krishna's creation. So that's a lot of living entities to maintain. And Bhagavatam also describes in this age, Kali Yuga, a person will be considered successful if they can maintain one wife and their family members. So, what to speak of, in other ages, kings had dozens of wives and subjects and ministers that they were maintaining with their wealth. So, but this this age where we're very, much more degraded and there's a lot less wealth and opulence, and so just to maintain one family is considered a success. And how much struggle we have to go through to do that. So therefore, we get an idea of the unlimited nature of God and Krishna by understanding that He's maintaining everyone else. So then we can ask, but why is God maintaining all of us, conditioned souls? In the material world, we have a material body, so that is what Krishna is maintaining, a material body, because without Krishna supplying all these things, then we can't just survive on a material level. We're completely dependent on God. Even though everyone wants to be independent, at every moment we're dependent on the air supply and the light and just ingredients for our food and all these things, and intelligence. All these things are supplied by God. But no one wants to acknowledge that. So, of course, in the spiritual world, the living entities have a spiritual body, so they don't need to have a material body. They don't have a material body, so it's no necessity of maintaining a material body. But still, Krishna is manifesting the whole spiritual world as well. So in that way, Krishna is maintaining everyone, all the living beings in the spiritual world, and maintaining, because for the pure souls in the spiritual world, then God is their life Himself. So He's maintaining them in that way, that by His darshan and presence, then we're able to continue. So Bhagavatam describes Hastani Sahastana Aparani Chatushparam Bhagumi Tatamahatam Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. So, are you learning Sanskrit, Sudhya? Okay, she's not. So, Ahastani, so Hasta, actually in yoga they have a yoga asana, Hastasana. means hand. Hasta means hand. So ahasta, no hands. If the living beings, the creatures that have no hands, they are food for sahasthani, the creatures that have hands. So the deer is food for the lion, because the deer has like hooves, and in a sense the lion has hands, its claws are like hands. And aparani chatushparam, those creatures that have no legs, parani, aparani, food for those creatures that have four legs. So in other words, the grass is food for the cow. And Falguni Tatamahatam, the weak are subsistence for the strong. The weak are the subsistence of the strong. And the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. So in this way, this is Krishna's arrangement to maintain all the living beings, that just eat someone else and you'll be maintained. So once we get to the human form of life, what is the reason that Krishna is maintaining us? Once we get to the human form of life, out of the 8,400,000 species of life and 400,000 are human, so then Krishna wants us to offer these material ingredients when we're being maintained, and then offer these material ingredients to Krishna in sacrifice. And then this is the beginning of awakening our Krishna consciousness. So that is the long process of awakening our spiritual consciousness, that we engage in the method of sacrifice. So we just, karma yoga, we start by whatever we receive from our work. We're very attached to our work and we want things, we want to enjoy this world, but just a small portion of what we get in the world, we offer that to Krishna in sacrifice. And that's like just starting to acknowledge that, whatever we're receiving is supplied by God. And this is explained nicely in Gita. Krishna explains that people that don't offer something in sacrifice, they are stainer or thief. So everyone in the material world is a thief, because everything belongs to Krishna. And my Guru Maharaj gives the example. If you go to downtown CBD shopping center, any one of these massive suburban shopping malls, and you just go there and you just walk into a department store, Myers, and you start taking things off the shelf and you're saying, this is all for me. Mm-hmm. And no intention of paying for it. And so the store security comes up and says, excuse me, this doesn't belong to you. This is, we're going to arrest you. But you say, well, hang on, but I don't see the owner anywhere. Where does it say that this doesn't belong to me? But this is obviously a foolish argument. So just because, the owner isn't there, but of course it belongs to someone. It's not just, and this is actually a flaw in the Christian theology, that they've got the idea that this world is here for us to enjoy. But actually, they have to acknowledge that this world belongs to Krishna, God. And therefore, if we want to take from Krishna, he's supplying us our quota, but we have to give something back. There's a price to pay. We can't just take and not pay anything in return to the Lord. And Prabhupada's example is of an electricity account. So you're taking so much electricity for your home, to power your home, your appliances, but if you don't pay the bill, they'll cut the power and you'll be in darkness. And so in the same way, the sun is like our power supply for this world. So we have to pay something for that. But Krishna is giving us so much supplies, and we're not paying anything. So what kind of debt we're getting ourselves into? And therefore, the supplies of these things, when they're not paid for, get restricted. And so people experience shortage of just basic necessities in life. Shortage of water, shortage of clean air, shortage of food. So let's go to the verses in chapter 3. Krishna's talking about sacrifice. So, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because this performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation." So, by doing sacrifices, then human beings can become very satisfied and happy in this world, and have plentiful supply, and be able to cook nice things and offer them to the Lord. And so I have no kind of anxiety about, you know, getting by in this world and maintaining ourselves. We engage in sacrifice, then all these things are supplied, and we can, you know, not have all that stress and anxiety. And then, of course, Krishna says, and after that, once we're peaceful in this world, then that gives us the opportunity to think about what's beyond this world, what's in the next life. And as Krishna says, achieving liberation, getting out of this world. Because after all, this world is a prison house for the conditioned souls. So it's we don't want to become first-class prisoners. Prabhupada gives this example of, you know, third-class, second-class, and first-class prisoners. A first-class prisoner is someone who obeys all the rules very nicely at the prison house. They do the, I think, you know, you can do courses and stuff in the prison, and very well behaved. They don't beat up the guards, and they don't, you know, they go to bed on time and go back to their prison cell when they're told to, and do everything nicely. But they have no intention of ever leaving the prison. If and when the time comes and the time is up, you've served your sentence, and you're free to go. You say, "No, I like this prison. Look how nice I've made my prison cell. Like, I've decorated it, and posters of my favorite heroes on the wall, and, you know, nice comfortable bed every night to sleep. I don't have to worry about somewhere to sleep, and food 3 times a day. I've actually heard that, you know, people, if they're, you know, before they went to prison, they were like very shabby, and then they go to prison and they're fed well, and they become very healthier. So some people, they like that. They're fed regularly. They don't. So some people, you know, they get into that. Like, oh, why would I want to leave? So that's a first-class prisoner. In the same way, if we're like that in our life, that we're just very comfortably situated, and no desire to get out of this world, then we're just in ignorance. We don't understand that this is not real freedom. That every day we're in a material body, and the material body is our vehicle, and that's creating us so many difficulties, so many problems, and, you know, 3 kinds of miseries, relationships with others, other living entities, fighting us and cursing us and having road rage at us, maybe. And then the demigods are the natural living entity, natural forces of the world creating so many problems. We're very accustomed to that in Melbourne. One day it's boiling hot, and the next day it's raining and cold. So we're used to, you know, there's all these sufferings in the world. But we think, oh, if we can just mitigate these sufferings and work very hard to create a little comfortable situation for ourselves. We have a shelter, strong bricks, good roof over our head, and nicely painted walls, and this little shelter that we have away from the world is our nice arm. And then we can live very comfortably in that home, and have a nice family, and just be protected and immune from the pressures of the world. But it doesn't work like that. Krishna's ultimate ruling or judgment is death. So no one can avoid that. Actually, my Guru Maharaj tells a story of a very, very, very wealthy man in America. At that time, I don't know, 70s or something, he was the richest man in America. And he had the idea that, it's just because of germs that people die, bacteria. So what I'll do, I'll go inside a room and I'll seal it, so it hermetically sealed, so no air can get in and only pure filtered air can come into my room, and all of my food has to be irradiated. So it's anyway, the food has no value nowadays, but then you just irradiate it and kill it completely. And then so that way all my food, no germs can come in. I'll be completely protected. But I'll be completely bored as well in that room. But then, of course, it didn't work. Of course, he died. So somehow there's already germs existing in our body. You can't just block germs from the outside. They're already there in our body. Some, cancer cell is going to manifest itself. So that's the ultimate. Death no one can avoid. So, it's just in blindness and ignorance that people don't understand that. Not like the ostrich sticking its head in the sand. It's about to get mauled by a lion. So its solution is to stick its head in the sand and say, "It's not happening. I can't see. I'm in darkness. Nothing's happening to me." And so the lion is very happy. It's got a free meal. So like that, if we don't face up to the realities of the world, then we're just in darkness. So Krishna's set up this system of Vedic sacrifices, and he gave them to us. You'd be happy by doing the service, and then you get out of the world. You'd be well situated, practice Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna without offense, and aim to get out of this world. And even if we aim that way, and we're not successful, but Krishna will keep giving us opportunities to attain perfection and achieve the goal. So Krishna, Prabhupada explains that is the whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajna, the conditioned souls gradually become Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects. In the age of Kali, the Sankirtan Yoga, the chanting of the names of God, is recommended by the Vedic scriptures, and this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtan Yoga and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna, in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya, is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows, with special reference to the Sankirtan Yajna: Krishnavan Tisha Krishnam Sangopan Gashta Parshadam Yajnayasam Kirtiyam Praye Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates, by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age of Kali. But the Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita also 9.14. So people have to become intelligent and take to this Sankirtan Yajna, because as Prabhupada is explaining, all of these other yajnas that are recommended that Krishna prescribes in the Vedas, not easy to do nowadays. We don't have the requisite materials, and not in sufficient quantity, not in sufficient purity, and we don't have the trained brahmanas qualified to chant the mantras and get the desired result. So there's various pastimes of, when brahmanas say one syllable in the wrong, it's meant to be a long A, not a short A, and then it mucks up the whole yajna. So of course, at the temple we just do yajnas to attract people, because it's so ingrained in the Vedic culture to do yajnas. So okay, at least just come in. If you want to do that, you can do that. And at least chant Hare Krishna and have some prasadam and associate with devotees and hear something from Bhagavad Gita. So in that way, we can do yajnas, but we introduce the Sankirtan Yajna in mix it in with the people think they're just doing a Vedic yajna. And so Krishna explains that the demigods, when we cooperate with the demigods who are supplying all these necessities, then prosperity will reign for all. But people that enjoy these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Yo munte steena evasaha. So to become a good citizen, like in the universal sense, that we're not stealing from Krishna, we have to acknowledge that everything belongs to Krishna. And it's not hard, as Krishna says, if one offers me with love and devotion just a leaf, a fruit, flower, water, then I will accept it. And so we just humbly recognize that everything here is Krishna's, and get into this routine, this habit of humbly offering things to the Lord, and however small it may be, as long as it's continually developing our sense of devotion and love for Krishna, so that Krishna will be pleased and continue to reveal himself to us. And in this verse, or this section of Bhagavatam, explaining about that it's the king's duty to administer that process of sacrifice. They're meant to see that every citizen is engaged in their natural occupation, whether they be a merchant, a business person, or just an ordinary worker, a brahmana, learned person, or an administrator. Everyone should be doing their duties and offering them the results of their work to Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yata prapti bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakamana tam abhyacha siddhi viniti manava. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. So, in the early days especially, then people would criticize the devotees for saying, oh, you're just lazy bums, you're just avoiding, this modern society, avoiding work. But no, Krishna says that we recommend that we do our work where, it can appear that we're contributing to ordinary society, but our aim is we're not just mindless parts of this rat race, but we're actually doing our work to please the Supreme Lord. So, although that Krishna is supplying everything that we need on a material level, all our food and water, etc. But still we're not, because we're in that illusion of bodily consciousness, then nothing actually gives us real satisfaction. So we can have everything that we need for our bodily maintenance, but still we know that we're not actually satisfied. We're not experiencing real satisfaction because Krishna says that agatam gyanam etana gyanino nityavarana kama rupena kunteya tushpurena nalenacha. He says that the wise living into his pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like a fire. So we keep desiring and desiring to have more things and keep maintaining the body and increasing our standard of material happiness and prosperity. But this lust is never satisfied and burns like fire. It just creates us. When you're in fire, you're burning, it's miserable. So, Krishna is Krishna and the living entity, we ourselves. The Vedas say, Anandamaya Vyasa, by nature, we are blissful. So not just a little bit of happiness in the material world just means we reduce our suffering a little bit. So I think I've heard Devendra Maharaj give that example. If you go to the dentist and you have a toothache, and so he pulls out your tooth, and you call that happiness when that misery of the aching tooth goes away. Actually, last week I had actually quite a hellish dream. I had all these like mouth ulcers and like a couple of my tongue, and it was just like the worst thing ever. Can't enjoy my prasadam at all. Like, just got like, feels like my tongue is getting cut all the time. And it's just like such a small thing, but it creates so much misery. And so this week I'm much like relieved because they've kind of gone away, so I can enjoy prasadam again. And that is happiness in the material world. That the negation of distress, but actually. Ananda, where actually our nature is to be blissful. So, and Lord Chaitanya says in the material Shikshastakam, Chaisa Udapana Marjanam Bhavamaha Dabhagam Nirapanam, Shreyakara Chandraka Vitranam Vitjabhagu Jivanam, Anandam Bhadivur Bhadhanam Pratipadam Bhornam Vitasadhanam, Saravatma Snapanam Brahm Pujayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So again, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is so easy for everyone. He says, cleanses the heart of the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge, and it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we're always anxious. So we're always wanting, hankering for, that spiritual bliss, that spiritual happiness. But people, without information of that higher spiritual taste, they look for it in so many other ways, just most commonly by intoxication, and material sex life, and eating out at fancy places, and sleeping in fancy places. Prabhupada says in a lecture, like, the dog in the street is sleeping, and the person in the 20th floor of a hotel, nice fancy apartment or hotel room, they're also sleeping. But when you're asleep, it's the same. You don't know that you're in a 20-story hotel room, double king-size bed, whatever. The dog in the street is also asleep and very happy sleeping. So there's no difference. If you're, we think we just create this mental concoction that this kind of eating out at a fancy restaurant is better than eating at this other place. Like people come to Crossways and it's such a simple kind of restaurant. You just one price, one set menu, but people are so satisfied just by that nice prasada. And so it doesn't, this is the illusion that modern society has created, that the more money you have, the more standard of happiness you can have. But happiness and, wealth are not, they don't match together, they're not correlated. So actually you can be, we find this out when we become devotees, that just very simple things can give us great, great happiness. I was just, I was reminded of that the instant that I walked into the temple this morning before I gave class, and kirtan was still happening, and some of the devotees were like created like a snake line, like holding each other's hand and just dancing around and going around the temple chanting Hare Krishna, and the kids were there, and the kids and the adults together holding hands. And so there's that unity and just very simple happiness, transcendental happiness, just from this small activity of chanting Hare Krishna together. And actually that is also the perfection. Most of devotees will be householders, so that is the perfection of our household life too, when we can all be united together and chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping Krishna, and also remembering that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's not just mechanical like words, and actually has a meaning, that we're asking Krishna to be engaged in his pure loving service. So there's that mood, of course, it's a mood of prayer in the chanting. And we shouldn't let that get overshadowed in kirtan, just screaming. But we're screaming, or like really calling out with our heart to be engaged in service, then that is actual kirtan and devotion, glorifying Krishna. On the one hand, we're glorifying Krishna, and because Krishna is so great, then for that reason we want to engage in his service, causes loving service. And there's a nice, in this verse also we have some words. There is Saloka Pala, which means the demigods, or Loka Pala, the demigods. Loka meaning planets, and Pala means protector. And then the next one, also a Pala, is, where is it? Oh, I missed it. The first one, Nri Pala, all the kings. So Nri is human being, and Pala, protector. So the king is a protector of the human beings. And then what is one of Krishna's names? Hand it over to the audience now. One of Krishna's names, which has the word Pala.
Gopal.
Gopal, yes. Very good. So Gopal, Krishna is Gopal, the protector of the cows. Gopal meaning cows, and Pala, protector. So Krishna is the protector of the cows. So this is Lord Chaitanya's move in the Sankirtan Yoga, which we've been discussing. It's to approaching Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Prabhupada says, like, when Krishna kills the demons, that's Vasudeva Krishna, that's not the original Krishna. So the original Krishna is in Vrindavan with the cowherd boys and cowherd girls, and he doesn't kill demons. Like, his expansion of Vasudeva Krishna kills the demons. And so Gopal, he's a protector of the cows, and also Gopal can refer just to the cowherd boys in general. So these are his transcendental pastimes where he appears like an ordinary human being, just a small boy. But actually, he occasionally manifests that he is actually the Supreme Lord, as you've seen the Govardhan pastime, and Lord Indra mistook Lord Krishna for an ordinary cowherd boy. Has anyone met any cowherd boys like just in India? Yeah, village cowherd boys. They're simple, just boys, right? Like, yeah. So anyway, I'll leave it there. See if there's any questions or comments about today's verse. Yes, please.
You mentioned about yoga and you are chanting the mantra and the short and long changes the pronunciation, changes the meaning. So we are also doing the Sankirtan yoga here. And we are also chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Prabhupada has given the diacritic marks of which is short, which is long. But we don't pay attention to those diacritic marks and we say anything we like. Krishna is the correct pronunciation and Krishna is a wrong pronunciation. That's a long A in the wrong pronunciation. When you see the Krishna, there is no dash at the top of the A. But Ra is a long. So it's changing the meaning. When we say Krishna, it becomes Draupadi. When we say Hare Krishna, it becomes Hare Draupadi. It changes the entire meaning of the mantra. So we should be pronouncing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, rather than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So many devotees are doing the wrong pronunciation. They say Ram and Ramo. So it's changing the meaning all over. So how can we make devotees pay attention to these diacritic marks and make correct pronunciation? Do you have any suggestions how we can?
Just for the people at home, so Prabhu's talking about, I had mentioned in the Vedic mantras, in when people do yagyas, sacrifice that, it's, most of them we can't do because there were no people qualified to actually chant the mantras properly and say the right pronunciation, because it can change the whole meaning of the mantras if they're not pronounced correctly. So similarly, we're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and so we should chant Hare Krishna with the right pronunciation, as Prabhu was saying, particularly with the short A on the end of Krishna, not the long A, which is a long A with Krishna is indicating Draupadi. It's a fair enough comment. As the 10 offences in chanting Hare Krishna, the most important offence to be avoided is inattention. So, they can kind of come under that offence that to be attentive, then we're chanting actually the Hare Krishna mantra, not some other mantra. My guru always said, like, we shouldn't be chanting Krishna's name is Hare Krishna, not Shnik Shnik Ram Ram, Hey Didi Didi, Hey Kiri Kiri, like that. So my guru says it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we just, not rush through. It's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, like that. So, we just chant properly the Hare Krishna mantra and asking Krishna and Srimati Radharani for to be engaged in their loving service. Attentively chanting and hearing ourselves chant with devotion. Actually, a few times recently I've been hearing my Guru Maharaj talk about with this chanting process that, to get some higher experience from chanting Hare Krishna, we're doing it every day. So it's important that we chant in such a way, Gurudev says, that you know, we give ourselves something interesting to listen to. Like we're actually, if we're chanting in a mood that is devotional and prayerful, then we'll become interested in what we're hearing. But if we're just chanting monotonously, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama Rama Rama, I've got so many plans for today, but I'm stuck here chanting and up work. Then of course we send ourselves to sleep, and we don't get any high pace if we're chanting in a way that, you know, it's like our brainwaves have gone static. Brainwaves have kind of ceased functioning. There's no, you know, if we put our hook up our brain to a, like a chart reader thing, measures the electrical signals, and it's practically flat when we're chanting, then of course we're not going to be interested in chanting. So that is the something to learn, to chant in a way that it captures our attention, that attentive chanting, that we're interested to hear ourselves chant because we're chanting with so much feeling and attention and love. It's a gradual thing, of course. It's not overnight. But yeah, everything we're doing, you know, comes back to that chanting. All our services, feeding to each other, that we're serving Krishna, so we want to chant and ask for his service more, and then we're chanting nicely, then Krishna will give us service, actual service, as also my Guru Maharaj explained. We can't complain to Krishna, oh, Krishna, I have so much service, it's I'm getting fried out. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we actually doing service? Because we can't say to Krishna, Krishna, don't give me so much service. This service is putting me in mire. I can't do my service properly. But then it's not actually service, because service is enlightening and enlightening. So we can just work and just do something with our body, but for it to be service, it has to be devotion. Yeah. Any other comments or questions to this, Mahal?
There's so many prayers of King Prithu. Yeah. How do we compare with Maharaj Yudhishthir? Can you give us some
correlation? Prayers of King Prithu compared
and,
to
and Maharaj Yudhishthir.
Like when Yudhishthir Maharaj prays in Canto 1, right?
How do you compare? What level?
I'm not so technically minded about, well, or learned enough to compare Prithu Maharaj versus Maharaj Yudhishthir. I mean, Prithu Maharaj is devotee. Prithu Maharaj is, Yudhishthir Maharaj is devotee. Prithu Maharaj is directly the Supreme Lord himself, incarnation of Krishna. Acting in the capacity of the king. Can't say so much. Yeah, of course, Maharaj Yudhishthir, it's intimately associating with Krishna. Definitely, you know, most of us won't be at that level, so we would take instructions from everyone in Bhagavatam. I don't think we really need to discriminate, like Kalab Maharaj's prayers are better than prayers of Dhruva Maharaj or someone, but you know, there are stages of devotion, but for ourselves, then we're pretty much we're nowhere near anyone in the Bhagavatam, so just to come to any high level is good for us. Yeah.
You can just say both are great Krishna verse.
Yeah. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Okay. Ki jai.